Welcome to this Rock the Flock podcast. Listen to the full two-hour show each Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. on 89.7 WJHO.
Welcome to Rock the Flock for the week of Sunday, December 28th, 2025. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. What is Rock the Flock? Rock the Flock is, it's a true blessing. That's what it is. It is a show like no other, and that's not because of me. It's because of what the Lord's doing in it with the artist he brings to the show to share their music, to share their testimony, and then we go into the Word of God, and that is the rock of this show, because without that, like I say it every week, without that part of it, the rest of it really doesn't matter if we don't have that right. Joining me this week, I've been really excited about this. I've talked to several people about it, and with this feeling I have about the artist that you're going to be hearing from in just a second. I've prayed about it. I've tried to prepare for it. Riggsy, thank you for joining Rock the Flock.
Thank you, Greg. It's really a blessing to be here, and I've really been looking forward to this time.
Well, I told you, I sent you it was an email. I have this overwhelming feeling that I could open up the Bible right now and go back into the Old Testament. And during this interview, I'm going to feel like I'm speaking to one of the godly women of the Old Testament. So I already know that. So I'm really ready to get this interview rolling.
Well, I just pray that this really blesses those that hear it. And I love the opportunity to share, and hopefully my story will just inspire someone, and especially inspire believers to keep praying for those that are lost that we know, because I was lost for a long time. And I know there were believers along the way that were planting seeds for me that I didn't see till much later, but they were all there. I'm so thankful for those people that were faithful to reach out and plant seeds with me all along the way.
Well, amen. I tell you what, when we come back, like I said, we're going to pull the pick out, we're going to pull the shovel out, and we are going to dig all into your life to see what God, what he's been doing, and what he's going to continue to do. So we'll be right back with Riggsy right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Here we go. Buckle up. Get ready, because Riggsy is with us. And Riggsy, you are in California. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in Southern California, in Riverside County.
Riverside County. All right. Well, Miss Riggsy, I know a little bit about you, because I just have to admit, I snoop, and I have to go back, and I was going through your Instagram stories, and you know, I smiled in some of them, I laughed in some of them, I had tears in some of them. What an amazing journey! What an amazing story that God has written in your life. So, before I say too much, here we go. You're at the door of the Rock the Flock house. You've come down the sidewalk. Last week, I think we were talking about adding a third floor because there's so many artists in this house. We might as well go ahead because the queen is at the door. So we're going to add another third level, and we've opened the door, and everybody's looking and wants to know who this woman of God is that's standing there. So who is Riggsy?
Well, Riggsy is My name's Kasan, and RIGZI is an acronym I came up with when I was 12, actually. It stands for redemption in spite of guilt, shame, and insecurity.
Oh, wow. And,
but I was not raised in a Christian household. I was raised in a household that was very skeptical of religion, maybe agnostic some days, atheist the others, very critical of Christians, very, very skeptical of religion in general. So I grew up sort of parroting a lot of what I heard in that environment. And so I would say, first and foremost, I'm a very unlikely believer. But that is what God chased me down. Like I said, just when we were talking before, so much through my life, believers were planting seeds. God placed Christians in my life that reached out to me, and I was very close to it. I was, like I said, sort of cynical and hard-hearted. But about 13 years ago, I was going through a divorce with a baby. I had, my son was one, and it was the most traumatic and heartbreaking and confusing time in my life. And in the midst of that, one night God spoke to me clear as day, and it really rocked the foundations of my world, because I wasn't a believer. I wasn't praying. I wasn't asking God to say something to me. I wasn't even thinking of God, I thought. But then a voice that I knew undeniably was God sort of spoke to me and just intervened basically in the situation and radically changed my entire life. And I'll say, you know, it took time. I started going to church, and it took about a year of just seeking and getting to know his word and trying to understand and work through those blocks and misunderstandings I had about the gospel that had been sort of fed to me for so long. But after about a year, I was baptized and just surrendered my life completely to Jesus. And I've been walking with him since then. And I like to think God intervened in time for me to raise my son, because I feel like, you know, for years I can look back and recognize that I was looking for God and wanting a relationship, but really struggling to accept the truth of the gospel and just wrestling with it. But think that God, when my son was one, God just said, okay, enough. That's enough. You're mine. This is going to stop now. And I thank God. And I tell my son all the time, because he's still growing and working through his relationship with God. And I tell him, you know, he saved me in time to raise you. So I know God has amazing plans for you. And my son is 15 now. And it's just great to watch him. He's a really deep thinker and wants to be a filmmaker. So he's really into storytelling. And I do it through music, and he does it. He wants to do it through film. I'm a teacher, and I think it's important because God put a calling on my life to be a teacher about 14 years ago. Before that, my whole life I've been pursuing music. I mean, since I was five, I've been singing and playing the piano, and that's my whole life has been music, music, music. And I started teaching about 14 years ago and sort of wrestled with, oh, God, am I supposed to give up music and do teaching, or who am I? Because every time I try to put down music, I just can't. Like, it comes back. Like, it's how I breathe. It's how I feel, is who I am. And God has really shown me over the last, you know, decade or so that it's not one or the other. You know, I feel like sometimes we think we have to choose. Oh, God, do you want me to be this, a teacher? Do you want me to be a musician? And God has just shown me, no, I want you to be both. Like, I want you to make music, and I want you to teach. And I just have learned to just step forward. You know, I don't know where my life is going, but I know that ever since I've been walking with God, it's always better. Like, his way is always better. I don't need to see really ahead where I'm going. I just know that if I get up and take the steps he put in front of me that day and stay close to him, that I'm heading in the right direction. And when I feel off, I just have to get back on the path with him, you know, get back in his word and just wait on him sometimes. I think I'm just trusting that he's just saying, go teach and go make music and let me worry about the rest. So that's what I've been doing. I do want to mention, since I'm introducing myself to the house, that a big part of who I am today is I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, breast cancer last summer, very out of nowhere. I have no risk factors. I don't have any breast cancer in my family. It was not something I ever worried about. So it was really quite surprising. I really was in denial for months. And I had 6 months of chemo and 2 months of radiation and multiple surgeries. And I'm still, you're kind of always sort of, I think once you have cancer, you're sort of, you know, I'm in that period where I want to get to the 5-year mark and the 10-year mark. And I'm hopeful and trusting God through all of it. But it definitely puts things in perspective as far as it's really humbled me in the process of just my body hurting and feeling at the mercy of the treatments and not being in control of my health, you know, just having to just surrender. But it also has made me really fearlessly passionate about the gospel and sharing it, because, you know, time is not promised. And I just want every day to point to Jesus. I just want to get up and point to Jesus with everything I do, everything I say. And obviously I fail on a daily basis to do that perfectly, but I just, I'm very happy that God has freed me up in this way to just live fearlessly for him through this process. Because I don't know, you know, I'm hopeful there's a lot of time and there might not be, and we don't know anyway, you know what I mean? We don't know. So we just have to be faithful, like I said, to get up, do what God has put in front of you, and let him worry about the rest. He'll do what he's doing a lot better than we could try to control or make happen.
Well, I love what you said, because through two traumatic times in life you've walked through, that you said you have to take it a step at a time. You know, there are days that it can be long days, and we have to just to trust God in those. Man, when every minute feels like an hour, and I know you've been there with just cancer treatment is no fun. It's no fun. No. What it physically does on the body, what it mentally does on the body, but I know you made it through it because of your faith.
100%. I mean, yes, Jesus was walking with me the whole time. If I could share just this, early on, I had a, you know, you first you're in denial, and then when it kind of sinks in, I had a moment of just crying out literally to God, and from us in my bed, and then just started crying, screaming out to him, like, because the fear is really, as a mom, like, I didn't want my son, you know, I was like, just give me time to get my son grown. I think that was my biggest fear, was no, it's too soon. Like, I have to get him out of the house. That was such a fear to me. And it's just, I had a vision of myself sort of on the side of the road, just crumpled up in a heap, like exhausted. Like, I can't, I don't want to do this. I can't do it. And Jesus walked over and put his hand out and said, get up, come back to the road, and let's go. And in a loving way, you know, it's very firm, but it was very loving, and just get up and come back. So I got up and, you know, took his hand, and really the whole time I was in chemo, that was the one image in my head, was just walking down this open path in the desert with this bright, bright light in front of me, just holding Jesus's hand and just walking. And there's a long pathway when you go to get chemo. There is a long sort of corridor of patients down to whatever bed I was in that day. And that was kind of, at the same time, was always seeing that hallway, but also that road with Jesus, and just going and saying, okay, as long as you're with me, I trust you.
And for those that are listening, how that has to soothe all of us, because yeah, every day is not great. You know, every day is not perfect. We go through the hills and the valleys of life, and it's so much easier when he's walking with us. Mm-hmm. And even in the top, you know, it's just as important for him to walk with us on the top of the mountain. Because the Bible says when we're weak is when he's strongest. And we have to be careful when we get to the top of the mountain, when we feel the strongest, we need him the most.
Because he got us there.
Yes, that's right. and we're not going to be on top very long because we're headed to another valley. I mean, every day, we never know what we're going to face every day in this world. We face with children, like you said. There's all kinds of things we walk into. But to have that assurance that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, all right. Well, thank you for sharing that. That was, I wouldn't have thought it would be anything less. So we're graced to just to have you on the show. And when we come back, we're going to dig into the Word of God. And I'm excited about that too. So we'll be right back with... Are we going to use the acronym? Are we going to use?
Sure, we'll use RIGSY.
Okay.
Just so people don't forget it.
that's right, because that sounds like a cool artist name. It really does. We'll be back with RIGSY right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Whether you're listening on the airways of 89.7 WJHO, if you're streaming online at 897WJHO.org, or my favorite thing to say every week, I'm sorry, I know it sounds like repeat, but you've gotten on your podcast and you found this podcast called Rock the Flock, and you can't get off of it. Once again, I can't apologize. It's because of amazing women and men of God that he brings to the show. And here we go again with another one. Like I said, I'll just say welcome from out of the Old Testament, RIGSY. How are you doing, Miss RIGSY?
I'm good. I'm blessed. And I actually have scripture from the Old Testament since you mentioned
it. Oh, that is just too cool. Too cool. Well, all right. Well, thank you for opening up and sharing some tough times in life and your faith in the Lord. So I'm very interested to see what verse in the Old Testament you have for us.
All right. Well, the verse that kept coming to my mind, because this season for me has just really been about leaning in and feeding on the Word of God more than ever, and just every day throughout the day, reminding myself, have you gone to the Word? Have you gone to the Word with every worry or concern? So I started when you asked me to think of a verse, the one that kept coming up for me was Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I kept hearing that phrase, every word that comes from the mouth of God. But when I was looking at it, you know, that was Jesus speaking out of the Old Testament. So Jesus was referring to Deuteronomy. And I love it when Jesus is citing scripture, because he's reminding us that he goes to the Word and that he's always been there. He, from the beginning, you know, that his words have been there from the very beginning through the whole Bible. It's all him. So I'm going to take us to Deuteronomy 8, which is where Jesus was pointing. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
And why that verse?
It really broke me this morning reading it. I sort of was in tears because just remember how the Lord your God led you all the way. I mean, for me, someone who lived, saved when I was 38, almost 40 years, literally almost 40 years of wandering around without him, as far as not acknowledging him, but certainly not without him. Like, he was with me all the way. Mm-hmm. And to see that, to have been so stubborn for so long, and to see at, almost 40 years old, like, that he was there the whole time, that he was just waiting for me to acknowledge him and see him there. But I wasn't alone that whole time. And it is so humbling to know his patience for us and the way he pursues. And he continues to humble and test me. I thought I was surrendered before. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I asked God, like, what? I'm already surrendered, God. You don't need to do this. Like, I'm good. I'm humbled. I'm falling. I don't need to. And he was like, no, we're going. And then he's just always right, because he's humbled me even more into just being fully surrendered every day. I have to be surrendered physically because I'm always sort of in a little bit of pain now. And I think of Paul and like the thorn in the flesh. And I understand that now because I keep thinking, okay, God, am I praying to take the pain away? And then I say, well, yes, I guess that would be great. But I'm praying more just for God he's just teaching me to lean more on him. That it's not going to get easier necessarily. So it's not about that. It's about us trusting and letting him do the work, letting him lead. Someone said to me a long time ago that skeptical people that are not Christians have said, oh, Christianity is just a crutch. It's just a crutch for you. And I saw this quote once that said, it's not so much a crutch as it is a stretcher on which I lay my whole weight. And I love that quote because, it's not a crutch, it's a stretcher. Like, you got to lay yourself completely down at the feet of Jesus and give it over to him. So I love that. I just love the verse because he talks about him humbling you, but never leaving you hungry. Like, he feeds you. When you surrender, he feeds you. And we just need to know that he's given us all we need in the word. It's there for us. Certainly has sustained me.
Which I hope I don't have to wander for 40 years, because if I wander for 40 years, I'm probably not going to be wandering on this earth. But that's great to bring, because as you said, 38 years, you weren't with God, but he was with you. You knew he was with you. And an example I like to use on the show a lot is that, we're on this road, and that's pretty funny how you say that hallway, that path, that road, that we don't see it, but he's behind us cleaning our messes up. Mm-hmm. He's on each side of us. He fights on each side to keep us on that road, because we always want to veer off it, right or left. And then he's in front of us, removing things that we never have to face. Mm-hmm. Whether you are a Christian or not, he went to the cross for everyone. So he does that for everyone. And the difference is, as a Christian, we know it. Mm-hmm. We know he's there, and we know when he does things in our life. We have this intuition, the spirit, I call it. We know it. And if you're not a Christian and you're walking down that path, he's just waiting for you to call out to him. And he'll really change your life. And like you said, if you want to use it as as a crutch. I couldn't think of a better crutch than Jesus, you know, a better wheelchair than Jesus. And like the, and like they said, most churches, the good Bible teaching churches, I've heard them, that they're just hospital beds for sinners, you know? So we need him.
Yeah, and that's where our strength, your strength comes from, Christ. It's not weak or shameful to know that you have that weakness, because once you, we can't, even in all our striving, are never going to have the strength and the just the power that comes from the Lord. So it's a beautiful thing to realize that and rest in his strength, not our own.
Amen. And God will, he'll do amazing things. Last week, I was walking into the studio to do the interview I had last Saturday, and there was a gentleman outside, and there's a church attached to our building. Actually, they're half of our radio building is a church. And he said, I want to tell you something, Greg. And I was like, okay, here we go, because I know when people look at me that way, it's the Lord talking. He said, Greg, you've always had favor on your life. And he said, listen to me. And I thought, oh, here, this is going to get deep now. He said, you will always have favor on your life. And I felt like, man, I was excited. But then I thought, God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of that, God. I fail you more than I help you, you know? But it's, I don't know.
But he is worthy, you know, and that's the scripture says that God sees, when he sees us, he sees his son. He doesn't see our own failings. Once we've given our lives to him, you know, that God sees we are covered in the grace of Jesus, and that's what God is seeing.
And we talked about it before the show, and it just got brought up. It took 38 years for you, and even I've done a lot of things for Rock the Flock, what it was, and different things in the past, and other youth groups, and all kinds of things I've been involved in. But it took 54 years for me to be able to do exactly what I knew he wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. So don't give up, no matter what. No matter, like we talked last week, you walk every step you take on holy ground. And the artist I had last week, her song, Hallelujah Anyway, that no matter what happens, I'm going to sing Hallelujah Anyway.
Yeah. Yes, amen to that.
Well, thank you for opening the Word and going to the Old Testament. That was right on cue.
You didn't tell me to, but that's where I was. I've been in there. Yeah, I go there a lot.
When we come back, we're going to talk about your music, because you sent a song to me that is pretty cool. It's a little peppy. It's a little spunky. It's a little, feels like it's straight from the heart. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that.
All right, great.
We'll be right back with Rigsy right here on Rock the Flock Radio. It's Rock the Flock Radio. Joining me this week from Southern California, Rigsy. Rigsy, we've learned a lot about you, and I know there's a lot more, but thank you for sharing the journey that God has. He's walked with you through the path that he's put you on, and the path that you thought was perfect. And he said, wait a minute. And you kept on going with him down that path. And now you're teaching and you're singing, you're doing music.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you started singing early on, how early did you pick up instrument or start singing?
So five. You know, when I was five, I started playing piano and singing and forcing people to sit and listen to me. I would make programs and invite all the neighbors and sit them down in the living room and do shows.
That's early to play a piano.
Yeah, I was not the greatest. I was very undisciplined. This is part of my personality. When you're learning piano, there's a specific placement of your hands and fingers you're supposed to play certain notes with, but I was always just like, let me hit the notes the way I want. So early red flags that God was going to take a long time to get through to me. but I learned that way, and I'm an okay piano player, but I'm primarily a vocalist. I've been a singer for years and years, and done secular music. You know, when I started, I did dance and electronic music and would go sing in nightclubs and things and perform with different bands. And then I started writing when I was 16. Was when I started writing songs.
So I guess it was when you were 38 that you decided to write music for the Lord?
Yeah, and I had not done music for about 10 years. Like, I went silent in my mid-20s. It was like music just went away. I lost all love for it. I had been chasing. I didn't even know why I was doing it anymore, because I never really cared about fame, but I really wanted to make music and have that be sort of my job and my living. But being in the music industry had sort of beaten me down, and I just stopped loving music. So for about 10 years, I didn't sing, I didn't write. It was just quiet. And one of the first things that happened after I got saved was that the song started coming back. And I was, you know, God gave it back to me, but it's for Him now. Like, I solely make music for God now. And that's what brought my songwriting back these last, 12 years.
Now, here's a fun question I like to ask, and I do it every week. When God speaks to you, because you have old school, and do you write it down? Do you jot it down in a notebook, or do you use your phone and voice record it?
I'm a phone person. I put it in a voice memo and I put it in a note in my phone. I do write it down sometimes too, but I'm really bad at going back through my notes on paper. Like, 5 years later, I'll be like, oh, I remember that. I forgot to look at that. So I don't trust myself to write it down in paper. So I put it in my phone, and it's best that way because I can find it quickly.
How do you have time to teach and then write music?
God just gives, it's just the strength he gives me. I've thought about that, because in my busiest times teaching is when my songs come. And when I'm sort of, when I slow down in general, everything slows down. So I feel like the faster I go, he just gives me more. So I just got to go. So I get songs in the car is my favorite place to write. So I have a pretty long drive to the school I teach at. It's an hour away. So the hour back and forth, I'll get an idea started for a song and put a little, I'll have a track to it or something that I can just listen to. And so the whole way in the car, I'll be coming up with melodies and revising the lyrics and just singing it over and over again. So long commutes have been my best friend over the years as a songwriter.
So you kind of voice record different parts of it, and then you get a chance to sit down, and it's like putting Legos together. This piece goes with this piece, and this piece goes with this piece, and then before you know it, there's a song.
Yeah. Yeah, and just listening over and over again until it feels right. Like, it takes a little work to hone it in sometimes, but just listening and listening. And then I'll go to the piano. Usually at some point, once it's somewhat formed, I'll sit down at the piano and really work out the music part of it. If it's a song on piano. Not all my songs are on piano, but some of them are.
How many songs have you written?
Hundreds over the years, but A couple hundred. Since God got me, since I've been making music for the Lord, probably about 100 at this point, but in all stages of being done, you know, little fragments, and some are done, some are not. But a lot of them in process right now, just sort of all over the place.
So that blows my mind when artists say hundreds, because I don't have time to write one. I have three that I started writing when I was a senior in high school, and they were in a box in the top of my closet. And one day, one of them is going to be all right.
Yeah, you got to get those out. Those are the best ones. Those old ideas you find and go, oh,
well,
I kind of like this.
Well, I need an artist to just run with it. You know, because one is, you know, what shade of gray do I pick today? You know, when I wake, like when you wake up in the morning, we go into this world, and you know, what shade of gray am I going to wear? Because you know, we're told if we're lukewarm, if we're any shade of that gray, mm-hmm. we might as well be cold.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, you sent a song over to me, and it's called "Food and Water." And it has everything that I would say that a song needs to have. It's kind of got a little, like I said, it's got a little spunk in it. It's got some soul in it, and it has Riggsy in it, which is the best. What encouraged you to write a song and Food and Water?
Well, this is where my collaborators on this are really important. About 4 years ago, I started writing songs with one of the elders at my church. He came to me with a chorus of a song and said, he wasn't a songwriter at all. And he said, I have this idea. You want to do something with it? And I said, you are a secret songwriter. And that just started a really great collaborative process where he brings titles and concepts to me, and then I add the music to it. And so Food and Water was one of our songs where we get together and he'll have a list of titles and concepts. And he actually had Food and Water just as a title, where he said, and we sort of talk about our process. We'll sit and talk about what God is telling him that means, or what his inspiration for that is. And then we go do like a deep Bible study dive, sort of. He has a devotional, and we get into God's word. And so we just spend a lot of time talking about, the living water and the true bread from heaven, those verses from John. Mm-hmm. So we spent a lot of time. I was looking back at the notes. We just took notes on speaking about just that the world does not satisfy, mm-hmm. that we have a yearning in us. And my yearning personally to know God, and all the questions I had before I was saved that could not be satisfied by anything I found in the world. So for me, that's just that wanting God's, searching for something that can never be satisfied in the world, and finally realizing that it's Jesus, that Jesus is the living water and the true bread. And I know for something that Paul Hurt is my co-writer for the song, that what Paul was talking about was just that our cravings, that we have all these human cravings that will never be satisfied in the world. Because they all sort of point us, all these different things we hunger for are really our desire for God. So he and I really wrote the words together. And then I would go to the piano if it's that sort of a song, or if I'm hearing something different, I have some producers I like to work with. And for this song, like you said, I was hearing something a little grittier and a little more kind of rock and we were thinking of being in the desert and just being like close to death and just needing water so bad. So we wanted that kind of like trudging, like grind to the music. So there's a producer named Kalin Velev in Bulgaria, and I love his work. So I kind of thought, I was listening to his tracks and thought, this is the right feel for what I'm hearing in this song. So we ended up, Kalin's, you know, produced the music, and then Paul and I wrote the words, and I came up with the melody. So it was really a collaboration.
Now, did you say Bulgaria?
Yeah. I didn't even know where he was in the world when I first found his music, but through the process of reaching out to him and saying we were going to use his music for this song. I found out he's in Bulgaria.
I'm telling you, God's moving all around this sphere. For 80% of the people that believe it is a sphere, and the 20% that believe that it's flat, he's moving no matter what it is, you know?
Yeah, he certainly is.
Well, all right. Would you do the honor of introing Food and Water, and we'll just play it?
Absolutely. This is Rigsy, and this is my song, Food and Water.
It's Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a huge part of what God is doing. To all the artists on the show, thank you for sending me music. Thank you for continually sending me your music. And thank you for the Christmas music you sent. That was really cool that we had 2 weeks of shows that were independent Christian artist Christian music, which is hard enough to find anybody to play independent Christian music anywhere. But then your Christmas music. So I'm very thankful God has opened this door that it can be done on this show. Miss Rigsy, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be just a wonderful guest. And I knew it before we even started, and I can just see it. I can see it in your eyes. I can see the woman of old faith, that you had to go back into the Old Testament to find. And there's nothing wrong with the women in the New Testament, but there's something about, if you've heard your pastors talk about it, I talk about it a lot, the old faith. Because we didn't have Jesus then. He was there, but we didn't physically see him. And we had to depend on God and how God parted water. He burned bushes. He did all kinds mm-hmm. of things. And that's old faith. So thank you for coming on. It's an honor to have you part of the Rock the Flock family now.
Well, it's an honor to be a part of the family, and I love what you're doing. I really love the show. It's so encouraging. So I'm just really blessed and thankful to be a part of it.
Well, can we say a prayer?
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for another week. Thank you for the wonderful artist. Lord, continue to work in their lives, to bless them. God, be with Rigsy. Be with her son, Lord. Lord, be with her body, that you will continue to heal it, Lord. Lord, be with her pen. Be with her voice. Lord, take her to places that she can't see. To the doors down that hallway, Lord, that you will open for her. Lord, wrap her in a hedge of protection. Send angels to guide her down this path. And bless, Lord. Oh my goodness. Just bless every step of her life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, all right. We made it through an interview. We waited, and now it's over. And I want to keep going.
It's great. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it's wonderful format, so thank you again.
Well, how can people connect with you?
Well, you can find me on Rigsy Music, R-I-G-S-I, on Instagram and YouTube. A lot of videos up on YouTube. And any platform you listen to music, Rigsy, R-I-G-S-I, you'll find me there.
Do you have the opportunity to play anywhere?
I lead worship. I have a great church here in Temecula. I go to 412 Temecula, and we have a great worship team. So that's my main live performance. And the worship team this coming year, we're talking about writing more and sort of recording some music there. So that's sort of where my focus is music for the church. And I rap for my students. I do have to mention, I do birthday raps for my students. So my main gig is every time a student has a birthday, I'm obligated to do a birthday rap.
That's good. You'll have to get one recorded. I'd like to hear that.
Birthday rap. Well, let me know when your birthday is, and I will send you a birthday wrap.
Well, thank goodness it's another 11 months from now. So
all right, I have time to work it out.
You have time to work it out. Well, you were welcome back anytime. And it doesn't have to be if you have a new song, because I would love to play all your music. But if God speaks to you and you feel like it's something you need to share, just reach out and we'll jump on the show and we'll open the Word of God and whatever He wants you to say.
I appreciate that. I would love that.
Well, just may the Lord continue to bless you, to heal you, to keep you. And you just keep being that awesome woman of faith that you are.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
And technically this show plays after Christmas, but we're recording it before Christmas, so who cares? I hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and to you as well, and all your listeners.
Well, that's Rigsy on Rock the Flock Radio.
Thanks for listening to Rock the Flock. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on 89.7 WJHO. 897WJHO.org, 89.7 WJHO on the Radio Alabama app, or on Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.